world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, and welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows, they wish they could, but they just don't have the cojones, huh? They just ain't got it. So we got it, and, you know, and we'll keep on having it.
Yeah, we got it, man. We'll give it to you, too.
We've got it, and we'll give it to you, yeah. Well, it's not a disease.
No, but we got it. They can have it if they want, but they don't have to have it.
Yeah, we got it, but you don't have to have it. Why don't you guys just let me do this? In any event, our number is 877. We got it, but we'll give it to you. 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. Is the number, and online at philhendryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you are opened up to yet another level of the Phil Hendry Show with our video casts, with our uncensored rants. We just put Chris Puté up on demand. Chris Puté's, what does he call his show? Chris Puté's unbelievably soft hits, something like that. So if you miss Chris Puté, I think in this episode he is shot and killed by police, who enter the studio at the end because he held his screener hostage for screwing up something in his love song dedication. So check out Chris Puté there on our website. 877-876-PHIL. Bringing on now Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association. We want to talk to them because we have alluded a little bit to it. We want to talk to them about Proposition 8 being overturned here in the state of California. Bobby, how you doing?
I'm a lot better. I had a very difficult day.
Well, I'd like to hear about that. And Steve, how are you?
I'm a lot better too.
What happened?
Well, I want you and I want your listeners, Phil, to understand that I'm doing fine. I'm doing very, very well. So I don't want to scare anyone because the news that I have to impart to you, Phil, is a little troubling.
Okay.
Phil, I was raped today.
Good God.
And I want to thank a young man who came to my defense. And he was a young gay man, and I knew this because he was with his partner. He came, both of them were getting into a parked car. I was getting into my car. And literally grabbed a hold of the man who had been attacking me and tried to hold him along with the other gentleman that he was with. But this man got away.
So, Bobby, I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, I want people to know, first of all, you've really got to be aware. And second of all, thank God this young man was there to help me.
And he was gay, Mr. Henry, and I...
Well, I mean, anybody can. I mean, heroes come in all shapes and sizes, all genders, all orientations.
No question about that, sir.
Absolutely, Phil. And I'm, if someone had to be raped today, I'm glad it was me. I'm serious, because this young man, on this day that Proposition 8 was declared unconstitutional, this young man, a gay man, and his partner, came to my rescue.
Bobby, I have you been to the doctor?
Well, I want to tell you something.
Okay.
I'm only kidding about all of that.
Yeah.
You're only kidding about... What are you kidding about?
I wasn't raped.
No, she wasn't raped.
Why would you say that to me?
Because I'm making a point, Phil, and I want you to listen to the point that I'm making.
And you were not raped.
No, I was not raped.
She wasn't in a parking garage, right?
No.
You just came on my program. Do you know that the people that you frightened with that statement?
Oh, Phil, I didn't frighten anyone. I didn't tell them where I was, and I didn't...
Tell me to frighten who?
Frighten? It's just a piece of fright. It's a frightening word, for God's sake. When you said that, Bobby, I was scared for you. I've had an emotional reaction. I had a physical reaction, almost.
Well, that's between you and your creator, Phil.
What does that mean, me and my creator?
It's between you and your creator. It's between you and your God.
Whatever God you worship.
What has that got to do? I don't understand that comment at all. You said to me, I was raped today.
I remember what I said, Phil.
Okay, and I had a reaction to that. I had a visceral reaction to that. I felt angry. I felt terribly sad for you.
I appreciate that, Phil.
Well, if I did, I know for a fact my listeners did, too.
And I appreciate that. I do. I truly do. I don't think it was wasted energy, because what I did was I got you to recognize that gay people can be heroes, too.
Right.
You didn't get me to recognize anything. First of all, you know...
Yes, I did, Phil. Yes, I did.
And no, you did not. No, you didn't.
Well, again, Mr. Harris, like Bobby said, that's something between you and your creator.
What is that? I don't understand what it said. That's between me and my creator. Like, this is a moral choice I'm making?
In a lot of ways, it is, Phil, yeah.
No, it's no. There's no moral choice. You said to me, and I'm still outraged, I was raped today. And I'm like, my God.
Phil, you don't have to beat it into the ground, all right? Try to get more mileage out of it. I already know what I said. And
I am going to play this back for myself in my own mind. I'm playing it back in the minds of my listeners so they can understand what you said. You were raped today, and two gay men came to your rescue, and now you tell me the whole thing is horse dung.
No, that's just it. No, it's not horse dung.
It's not, as you call it, Phil, horse dung, because what I was doing was I was... saying, look how we can all be heroes, even gay people. On this day, that Proposition 8 has been overturned.
Why not bring up something that actually happened? You know?
Like what?
Like some real thing that happened.
Well, it's better that people are not going to get their attention.
I'll do it. I've got it, Steve. Phil, I did it the way I did it to grab your attention, as Steve just indicated, and to grab the attention of your listeners. I have been listening to your program tonight. I think you're a wonderful broadcaster, Phil. I think I was going to be in trouble if I came on your program if I didn't grab the attention of your listeners.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, whatever you think, Ms. Dooley.
Oh, well, don't be a child, Phil.
No, you know, don't give me this horse crap about how, well, I had to do something dramatic because you were laying such an egg tonight. You know?
Well, I'm just telling you my opinion.
Well, come on there, Mr. I'm not seeing you laying an egg.
Well, that's exactly what she's saying. So what she did was, in order to get the attention of the audience that I've been blowing off here by laying this egg tonight, she comes on here and she says, hi, Phil. Oh, it's been a tough day. I was raped today.
That's right, yes.
That is, you know what that is? That is an assault on...
Don't you dare do that.
No, you're not going to go there, Mr. Henry.
No, that's an assault on any woman that actually has been attacked.
How dare you? How dare you say...
Well, what's wrong with me saying that?
Because I didn't do anything other than grab the audience by the throat and shake them awake and say, look at me. Look at me. I'm Bobby Dooley, and I have something to say to you. Now, Phil, you've known me for a long time. Have you ever known me not to come on the air and grab the audience and slap them awake?
You are a controversial guest, yes.
That's what I needed to do. I needed to get on this radio show tonight, take your audience by its collective collar, if you will, and slap them really until they started to cry.
Yeah, I had to get some kind of attention, too.
Well, Ms. Dooley, I will tell you this. I think that what you've probably done is you've damaged my audience this way. You've probably got people out there now who are never going to believe a thing I say ever again.
Well, what makes you think that's important? The important part...
Well, let me make that decision, okay? You know...
But the important part, Phil, is that they are compelled to listen. And
I'll be the decider as to what makes them compelled to listen and what doesn't. And I don't need you coming on my show and saying, boy, what a rough day today, Phil. I was raped. And then saying, oh, well, I'm only kidding.
Mr. Henry, I got the case to go, oh, well, I'm only kidding.
Well, whatever she said, you know.
Well, she said, I want to tell you something, Mr. Henry, I'm only kidding.
That's what I said, yeah.
All right, so, fine. That's what you said. I want to tell you something, Phil, I'm only kidding. The fact of the matter is, that's nothing to kid about.
Well, I knew you'd say that. Did you say that?
We knew
you'd say that. That's nothing to kid about. Phil, we are here to make the point that the overruling, that the ruling as unconstitutional Proposition 8 is a great thing for the state of California. two gay men saved me from being raped today, even though it never happened. Now, what does that mean? I'll tell you. It means that I had your audience believing that I was saved from a violent act today by two brave gay men.
And now we know it didn't happen.
Well, yes, it did. It happened in the minds of your listeners, and really in my mind, for those minutes that it did happen. I believed it.
Yeah, I did too.
I really believed what I was saying, even though I knew I was making it up.
And what point is this now? Where are we at now, Bobby? That we're deluding ourselves? That we have to fool ourselves?
No, I'm saying, you're not listening to me. I'm saying that I did a positive thing, even if it was only for 3 minutes.
All right, we'll take a break here. That's just about the most unbelievable thing that's ever happened on my show, what she just did, coming on this program, saying what she said, and then saying, I'm only kidding, and at least I had people believing, and this is all to celebrate Prop 8 being ruled unconstitutional. Can't you come on this show and do something that is a little less shocking and doesn't take the audience on this emotional roller coaster? Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to be back here in just a couple of minutes with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
What are you telling me now, Bobby? Welcome back. World famous Phil Hendry Show here, 877-876-PHIL. What are you telling me now?
I'm telling you, Phil, that I was raped.
Are you kidding me now, or are you telling me the truth?
No, she's telling the truth.
You're telling me the truth now.
I am telling you the truth, yes.
Then why did you say you were kidding?
Mr. Henry, my wife was raped. I'd appreciate it if you would not...
Why did you say you were kidding, Bobby?
I was very ashamed.
Well, there's nothing to be ashamed of.
Go ahead, Bobby.
I'm only kidding. All right.
Okay, Bobby, I'm going to hang up on you. I don't like what you're doing.
We are making... Hold on for a minute. Hold on.
No, I've held on long enough. I'm going to hang up on you. I don't like what you're doing. Do you understand?
Mr. Henry, there's a point to this. We are giving you moments. We're giving you envelopes of believability.
What does that mean?
We are giving you an envelope of believability by coming back and forcing you into the reality that a gay man helped me. We are giving you that envelope of believability.
That's the second time you've told me you were raped and you were just kidding. Let me go over here to Sarah. Go ahead, Sarah, on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, I just thought I would mention that what she's talking about is something really serious, and it doesn't bring to anybody's attention that gay people are good or bad. Incredible acts, because somebody who is straight could have been the one who rescued you.
Can I ask you, Sarah, if you're on a speakerphone, Sarah, could you get off the speakerphone and use a handset? Is that possible?
I don't have one, actually.
Okay, dear. That's all right. Go ahead. Go ahead. You're fine. Go ahead.
Well, okay. I want to say something, Phil.
No, let's listen to Sarah first.
Gay people saved me, though.
No, they did not. You're in this delusional kind of world that you want to bring to people's attention that gay people are good. But the thing is that...
Are you saying that they're not? Are you saying they're not?
No, but you're trying to bring to people's attention that they are good by bringing up this unbelievable act that you went through that nobody should ever go through, and people that have gone through that, I think, are really offended by you pretending that it happened to you. And I'm pretty sure there are women out there and men who have been raped, because men are raped too, that...
Men are only raped in jail. They only get raped in jail.
So what?
Well, I'm going to say, lady, ma'am, you said it was unbelievable. You believed it, though, didn't you? Steve Dooley, but...
Well, I was I feel sorry for her that she went through a disgusting act.
Exactly. Exactly. But, there you go. That's my point.
No, but as soon as you suggested or brought to everybody's attention that it did not happen, I felt really sorry for you in the terms that you had to bring up something that is so personal and so devastating to people who actually go through that act, that you are basically slamming rape in their face and saying, hey, you went through rape, no big deal for you.
Well, look, let's bring this back to the planet Earth a little bit, because what I did was I had you feeling
Earth,
for me.
You're one who is going out of the outside of the Earth into outer space.
No, I'm in the Earth. You were outside of the orbit of the Earth. I'm in it. I'm in, not in the Earth, but...
What?
Wow.
What are you saying?
What do you mean, wow? If I may say, Phil...
Go ahead. We didn't know what you meant by outside of the Earth.
No, she said that I was beyond the orbit of the Earth.
Right.
No, I did not.
Well, you said that she was going out of the Earth.
First of all, you don't go...
That if she is the one who's telling me that I'm outside the Earth, it would actually be the reverse, that I am actually on the Earth, and she is the one who's out in outer space,
well,
because she's bringing up something that people are really touched and destroyed with in these kind of things. And it doesn't change my opinion on gays. I think some gays are great and some gays are mean. And just like straight people, some straight people are great and some straight people are mean. I mean,
I have to ask, are you cleaning a fish tank? Because it sounds it's almost as if there's...
Let us handle the audio part, Bobby.
All right. What I did say was, first of all, I didn't come out of the Earth because we all live on the Earth. So either we leave the surface of the Earth or we don't. To say that I came out of it is to say that I live under, that I'm from the underworld.
If you say the underworld, that's hell.
Okay.
Look, can we get off this discussion of Earth? You brought this up, Bobby. And
no, she is the one that mischaracterized it.
No, she did not. No, she did not. She was saying, essentially, your point of view is from outer space. You said you wanted to get back to Earth.
Yes. And what I'm saying is this, Sarah. When I said, didn't I sound believable? Yes, I did. Didn't you feel for me? Yes, you did.
You know why?
And when I told you, hold on. When I told you that two young gay men saved me, you felt pride?
And then when you said you were kidding, we all felt like we'd been just used, like we'd been lied to, like we're a bunch of just idiots who have been used by you. And your husband.
To make a point about gay people being equal? Oh, I'm so sorry, Mr. Henry, that I manipulated you into thinking gay people are good.
Actually, what happened was is when you said two gay people saved you, I was happy that people saved you. Because I don't differentiate between gays and straight. And that's the problem with this world.
You have to work on that. You've got to work on that.
You don't have the difference between a gay and a straight?
Why should
gay men have sex with each other? Straight men don't. You don't know that.
Yeah, of course she knows that. She's saying that she's...
Well, Mr. Henry, if you keep coming to the defense of this girl, I'm never going to get anything out of her.
Okay, what we're going to do here is take a break. Sarah, you've done a great job. I appreciate your call very much, Sarah. I do, and we do need to break. Thank you very much. 877-876-7445 is the number here. We're talking to Bobby and Steve Dooley. You came on the program, and the two of you don't seem to understand. It's a very shocking thing when someone comes on a radio show.
Well, is it not shocking, Phil, if it was a woman that you love saying it to you across the breakfast table? Would that not be shocking?
That would be terribly, terribly shocking. But when you share that kind of thing with potentially millions of people and you're not serious, and then you're trying to tell me you did it for a good cause...
Absolute good cause, man, Mr. Henry, to tell you the gay man, they came and saved her. And I'm grateful for that because my wife, you know...
Well, I wasn't in danger.
She was not in danger. But I was thinking if she'd been in danger, I thank God the gays came to save her.
And this is what you guys call celebrating the passage, the overturning of Proposition 8.
Now, this is what we call a very good defense of equality for all people and a talk show host who's decided to take it and rub it in the dirt, almost as if it was a sandwich that I had ordered, and you go outside to the parking lot and you run the edge of the sandwich on asphalt. Okay?
Okay, sure. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, back with Bobby and Steve Dooley in a moment.
Phil Hendry. Get it?
Okay.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And our number is 877-876-PHIL. We have Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association. Ms. Dooley, your effort to boost the image of gay people today by coming on this program after the overturning of Prop 8 and saying you were raped and a gay couple came to your assistance, I think has been a wrong move. You were kidding. You said you were kidding. Do you understand that when you say you're kidding about something, you trivialize it?
So I think, as a woman, I understand a little bit better than you. When I said I was raped today, I'm only kidding, I was talking about it the way I would feel about it. And I'm not trying to trivialize what other women have been through, but I know myself. And I would have been, if it happens to me, I know I'll be tough. I think I'll be a lot tougher.
Yeah, I think my wife would be a lot tougher than a lot of women.
So I would be able to withstand it psychologically.
Really? Has it ever happened to you, really?
It has not, Phil, because fortunately I'm... Again, I don't want to appear as if I'm judging, but I'm a little smarter with where I park my car and this kind of thing.
So you were mentally tough. And when you said I was raped, I'm only kidding... That's kind of how your brain deals with that.
My wife's pretty tough.
I'll do it, Steve. Yes. Now, for the women that I fight, I'm sorry, but I'm trying to take you almost as if I'm grabbing the back of your head and shoving your face into some reality. Okay? And remember, it was a gay couple that saved me. They were not. It didn't happen. You're right. But remember, it was a gay couple that saved me.
It didn't happen, but I should remember it was a gay couple that saved you. Therefore, in your imagination, a gay couple saved you, therefore...
Now, therefore, gay people are brave, too.
Are you saying they're not?
No, I'm not saying that they're not, but I don't need your story to reinforce that because it didn't happen. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Eric. Eric, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Hi, Bobby. Steve, my personal feeling about this is... that you're trying to use a lie to perpetuate what you believe to be true. Now, the moment you use a lie to tell a story, you lose all credibility, not just with the people you're telling the lie to, but anyone that hears that lie. You've lost all credibility with me.
And gay people are not brave. Gay people are not brave?
You have to be so melodramatic.
Well, no, I'm just asking you, if I lost credibility, you're saying that gay people aren't brave then.
Through your telling of the story, I would believe not, because you're telling a lie.
That doesn't make any sense.
I've seen plenty of gay males, females.
Are you gay, sir?
No, I'm not.
Are you gay, sir?
I am straight.
Look, all right, so you know that they're brave, and what I said, if they're brave, then what I said is essentially true.
What do you mean, if they're brave, what you said is essentially true?
But just what I said. I don't, you know, excuse me, for I don't stutter like my boys would say.
You're hypothesizing here. You're hypothesizing. Do you have proof to back up your hypothesis? Let's look at it scientifically. What's your experiment?
Well, we know that what is proof of what? That gay people are brave? I do have proof that gay people are brave. Yes.
Okay, but we know that your proof is...
Tell their story. Don't tell a fictional story. You lose
credibility. But I am telling their story. Yes, I am.
You're telling a fictional story where you hypothetically get raped and hypothetically are saved by two gay men.
I would bet you $1,000 the story I've just told has happened.
Yeah, but that's not the same thing as... That's not... help me out here, Eric. That is not...
Yeah, you're going to get help from the caller, huh?
Conviction.
You have to get help from the caller.
Oh, why is that funny? I mean...
Go ahead. Let's see.
I was just going to say, why is that funny, Ms. Dooley?
You have to get help from the caller because you're...
You don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, I do know what I'm talking about. If you're saying that it proves that it's happened because you'll bet $1,000 on it, that doesn't prove anything.
You want to bet against it?
Yeah, do you want to bet against it? Do you want to bet against it?
All right. So
I think I heard you guys the first time.
In that case, hypothetically, if I were to state that I'll bet $1,000 that my cat can... sing the ABCs. That makes it proof.
Oh, I'll take that.
I want a piece of that.
You want proof of that?
Okay. Well, ridiculous. There's no proof. You can't prove anything with a bet. You can't prove anything with a...
Exactly.
You can put some money down, but there's no way, Bobby. I mean...
Yes, I can prove it. If you're asking me, have gay men interceded in the rape of a straight woman and saved her, I guarantee you I'll go to the archives of a newspaper, any major newspaper in America... and I'll find a story.
Then call.
You won't find a story, but you won't find a story about cats saying ABC.
Jesus.
Call and exalt about those cases where that has occurred.
Exactly.
Don't
That's
throw
a great
in
point.
A hypothetical situation that offends. Not
but I had
itself,
to put myself in it. I had to put...
rape survivor out there.
Mm-hmm.
The rape survivors are offended by your...
I don't know. Are you gay, sir?
Casual.
He's already said no, he isn't.
You're sure?
Yes, he's sure.
I'm 100% sure.
Eric, thank you very much.
But you want me to go through all those newspaper clippings when all I had to do was say I was raped today,
but
and you believed
lie.
It. And
but it was a lie.
You would have believed if I hadn't said I was kidding.
You know, Bobby, I don't understand your point, though.
He would have believed it if I hadn't said I was kidding.
I told Bobby not to say she's kidding.
If I found out that you had taken my audience on a joyride for a full hour with a story that never happened, I would not only never have you on the show again, I would find out if I could have you criminally prosecuted.
For what?
I don't know for what.
Yeah. If we're not causing a public emergency, then you can't do it.
I bet you you're causing some kind of an emergency.
What emergency? Excuse me. What city was I in? What area? What neighborhood? What police agency was inconvenienced? You know, Phil, you're way out of your league.
Yeah, you're in the deep end of the pool.
Oh, get out of here, the deep end of the pool. Eric, thanks very much for your call, sir. I appreciate that very much. 877-876-PHIL. I'm in the deep end of the pool, huh? Let me tell you something. I know the law.
Yeah, but if you know the law, then you know that there's no law has been broken.
We made a point about Bobby on account she'd been raped with a gay man savior.
Yeah, well, it was two gay men.
It wasn't any gay man because it never happened.
If it had, though.
If, Phil, what we're saying, if it did happen, that's how it would have happened.
Oh, I see. So now what you're telling me is if it did happen, you're sure that it would have happened that way. And that's where we get further and further away from the actual concrete reality of the situation. Brian, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
How you doing?
Let's go, man.
I'm sorry.
We're burning daylight.
I'm sorry, man. How you doing? I really want to know what kind of fantasy world that lady is coming from, where she has to make up.
Is this the caller that I'm supposed to talk to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where were you?
Lady, you need
the
to...
The man was away...
I got a man
he was away from the phone.
You, okay?
My wife asked you where you were. Were you sitting on a toilet?
You are making absolutely no sense at all. You're talking about this guy having to ask the caller.
Okay, if you two guys won't be... Hold on. They're not listening to you, man. You have to shut up and let him talk.
I asked him where he was.
You are making absolutely no sense, lady. You're talking about this guy having to ask customers for cents, and you have your husband with a stuttering problem on the phone, and you're making up stories about being raped. Do you have any idea about how freaking ridiculous you sound?
Do you know how stupid you sounded when you weren't on the phone, when they asked you to be?
You know,
you're in the refrigerator. What are you raiding the refrigerator?
No, I was actually on the couch smoking a cigarette waiting.
I wasn't sure. What an idiot.
Hey.
Lady, you have absolutely no credible source of information. You have to make up a story. Are you kidding me? About being raped and some sort of gay Superman coming out of the sky and saving you? What kind of fantasy? You're talking about being on Earth? You're not even thinking straight, lady. Are you crazy?
You're the one that smoked cigarettes, not me. How stupid is that? And another thing, at least I know that when I'm on the phone and I'm waiting to talk to someone, I have the good courtesy to stay on the phone.
You're probably
and number three,
about being raped or something to get more attention. You are ridiculous, lady. I can't believe
you. No, I'm not ridiculous. What's ridiculous is for you to sit there, smoke endless amounts of cigarettes until your breath reeks and your lungs are rotted out.
I'm smoking endless amounts.
What's that got to do with anything? That's got
nothing
to do with anything. Nothing
to do with gay people or anything. Your whole entire argument is ridiculous.
All right. Can I ask you a question? Are you gay?
I am not gay. I'm straight. I have a wife and a kid on the way.
Put the cigarettes down, man. God, the guy's smoking.
Forget about whether the guy smokes. It's got nothing to do with it.
It has absolutely nothing to do with gay people.
I said I was raped because people like you are never going to believe that gay people are brave. Unless I can cop something.
My best friend is gay, lady. My best friend is gay. I've known him for years.
Well, what does that tell you?
That doesn't tell me anything. There's horrible people, whether you're black or you're gay or you're white. It doesn't matter. There's horrible people all over the world. And you live in this fantasy world. You have to make up stories about being raped. You don't even have any idea what reality is like.
Did you know that your friend is gay? Your friend is gay, and I had to make up a story to convince you that gays are brave. That's what's sad.
You don't have to convince me anything, lady.
What's that tell you?
Hey, Mr. Dooley, would you be quiet with the what's that tell you?
Well, I mean, the guy's best friend's gay.
That doesn't mean he's gay, all right? We've already established that. Number two, Ms. Dooley, what is your point that if this man, if he's got a best friend, don't you think he knows his friend?
Oh, I'll bet he knows it.
You know, you two really ought to grow up. If you want to be on this show to talk about gay people and the strides that gay people and how brave they are, and then you turn around with, I'll bet he's gay, all your little innuendo.
I'm 22 years old, lady, and you sound absolutely ridiculous to me. I can't believe it.
Well, then why don't you listen to an educated woman tell you something? I've been around a while. When I said that I was raped and that two gay men came to my rescue, I was making the point that I'm strong and that I'm a woman and I'm strong and there are gay men that are strong.
And that has absolutely nothing with the proposition that you're... That has absolutely nothing with anything. You shouldn't... You just shouldn't do that. Maybe something traumatic like that needs to happen to you because you have absolutely no sense of reality or sympathy for any for people who have had something like that happen.
I think that's the point here. Yeah. That's the point. And when you say that that happened to you, Bobby, and it didn't happen to you...
So you don't think I'm strong because I went through that?
You didn't go through that.
You didn't, but I don't think you're strong because you wouldn't be on the radio making up stories about it.
I know myself well enough to know that were I attacked by a rapist, believe me, he'd go to a hospital. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Boy.
Whatever,
wow.
Lady. Whatever.
You know something? Some people have confidence. I do. Yeah,
where did you grow up, lady? Mars?
You mean the planet Mars?
Yeah.
Oh,
where
my
did
God.
You grow up? Seriously, I mean.
I grew up in Southern California.
Yeah, you're gonna say she's nuts because she's a fruit and a nut.
You think I'm fruits and nuts?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely crazy. I really do. I mean, you are crazy.
That's what I think of you.
All right. Thank you very much for your call, Brian. I think you did. You may not think that you went a long way toward finding some truth, but you did. I appreciate that. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we talk with Bobby and Steve Dooley here about that. Obviously, we know, and I am, Bobby, I support I'm happy, I should say, for the ruling that makes Proposition 8 unconstitutional. I always felt that it was. I'm happy for gay people in California. I hope it spreads across the country. And we didn't need you coming on here and stinking it up with a lie.
It was not a lie, Phil.
It was Mr. Henry here. She told us a story.
It was a story. You ever heard of Aesop's Fables?
Are you trying to tell me now this was some kind of a fable, huh?
Yes, sir. The moral of the story.
Did you ever hear about Aesop? You know who he was?
Yes, ma'am. I do know who Aesop was.
All right. And then he had the moral of the story.
All right, hold on. Yeah, he had the moral of the story, man. You came on this show, Ms. Dooley, and you were trying to get people to believe you were telling the truth. 877-876-PHIL is the number. What an outrageous hour. Bobby and Steve Dooley with us here just sort of commenting on Prop 8 being ruled unconstitutional. She came on the show tonight and said she'd been raped and was saved by two gay men, and then she said, I'm only kidding. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Grow up, Mr. Hendry.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And don't forget, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, next hour, our news and information hour. If you want to join us on Twitter, I'm over at Twitter at RealPhilHendry. That's twitter.com/RealPhilHendry. And if you want to join us at Facebook, my personal Facebook page is facebook.com/PhilHendry. Or you can like our fan page, which is facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, PHANS, because that's what we do with the F. We turn it to a PH, and it's really silly. All right. Bobby and Steve Dooley joining us here. Probably not a very good time to bring those things up because of, I believe, with the commentary this evening, Ms. Dooley, you using a canard saying you were raped when, in fact, you weren't to glorify the strength and the bravery of gay people. I think it was absolutely wrong, absolutely inappropriate, and you've heard the reaction of my audience.
So you coming on your program just now and saying, ooh, follow me on Twitter, ooh.
Yeah?
Go to Facebook.
Yeah, go to Facebook. That is trivial, and you trivialized my rape. And
you weren't raped, Ms. Dooley. Don't keep saying that you were.
Then don't keep going all about, hey, go to Phil Hendry fans.
And plus, Mr. Hendry, when you said, go to Phil Hendry fans, you were going, go to Phil Hendry fans. You sounded effeminate.
And not in a way, Mr. Hendry, we would say you're strong. It was an effeminism. You know,
the two of you, in between you butchering the English language and coming up with the most contrived and asinine points of view on my opinion, I don't know whether to laugh or cry listening to you.
That sounds like something you'd say.
Yeah, it sounds like something you'd say.
Well, whatever that means, you know.
It means exactly what we said.
Yes.
Yeah.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show, and, no comment. No comment. Let me go to a phone call here. We have Brian. Brian, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hello?
Yes, sir.
Hi, this is Ben, actually.
I'm sorry, Ben. Go ahead, Ben.
I just wanted to say, I think it's a travesty that she's coming onto the show and all of my, my son's mother, my fiance, and my biological mother have all been victims of rape. And, I think it's awful, an awful
who
way
did it?
To make
did it?
Whatever.
Would you let the man finish? Let him finish.
I just want to know who did it. Way, and I think she's offended a whole lot of people out there, me included, who actually felt sorry for her and, whatever
See,
she had to
that's
say,
the point.
Absolutely negated by
that
coming
is,
out.
That is
like
the point. You felt sorry for me, and then your prejudice did not allow you to. And that's what we need to work on.
You need to work on that.
What does he
You're
need to work on?
Despicable people I've ever heard in my life. You know, I cannot believe you would make light of something like that. It's just
no. You said that did you not say that you felt sorry for me, and then because of your prejudice,
yes, and
you didn't?
I found out
no.
you were lying.
You mentioned that you said every woman you know has been raped. Is that said, sir?
No, I said very important women in my life, my mother, my fiance, and my son's mother, all have been victims of rape, and it's extremely affected their lives and their quality of life, and mine included.
Let's play a game. Who did it?
What do you mean, let's play?
Who did it?
What are you talking about? It's just three different people I'm talking about. Who did what? Who raped him?
Who committed the rapes, yeah.
Who did it?
What the hell does that have to do with...
Well, what are you talking about?
Let's play a game. Who did it?
Because no, we're not playing any game.
Emotions and with people's well-being, and I think that's just very sad. You know, there were people that...
Listen, Ben.
You know, there's people that...
I came on this program because Mr. Henry was laying an egg, okay? Do you know that show business term, laying an egg?
It doesn't matter if you think I was laying an egg or not.
I'm trying to bail you out.
Lady, I don't know what can be said to you to make you under... I don't think there is anything that can be said to you, and I agree with the guy that was on before that maybe something like this does need to happen to you for you to have any emotion.
How dare you? How dare you say that? It did happen to me today. It happened to me today.
But you were only kidding.
Yes.
All right, Ben, Ben, thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. News and Information Hour.
Phil Hendry.
Phil Henry show here every week, every night, every week, every night, and every week. We are the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And don't forget, in a couple of weeks, we start the Phil Henry podcast. That's going to be available to you free, because I know we charge for an awful lot on our website. Well, this will be one link through our website that is a free offering, our Phil Henry Presents podcast. Here on the radio show, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. On Wednesday night, we have a viewing party for a movie that I was a part of. It was shot a couple of summers ago called Last Call. Last Call. It stars Dave Foley's in it, Christopher Lloyd is in it, Tom Arnold is in it, and somewhere way down the cast list is your buddy here, Phil. I'm in it. Look for it. It'll be available soon. It'll be available to view in movie theaters, but knowing that people don't really go to movie theaters that much anymore, it should be available on Netflix or on demand very, very soon. It's called Last Call, and be forewarned, there's a lot of movies called Last Call. All right, a couple of things to, we got here John Edwards back in the news, and I think we probably need to talk about him at some point because his trial started today. There's also a series of primaries, five primaries, that the Romney campaign is looking at as being a way of solidifying the Romney lead there in the Republican Party. And one of the people, obviously, that's out on the stump, as they call it, for Governor Romney is his wife, Ann Romney. And she has been the subject of a great deal of interest on the part of commentators because she is giving speeches. She's supporting her husband very, very well. And she's a stay-at-home mom, the source of some conversation I'm having tonight with Father James McCordis. We talked earlier about Ann Romney and the campaign, Father. By the way, are you in a tub? Are you soaking your leg?
Yes, I am. Did you hear about that?
I did, because I heard you guys were playing softball. It was a benefit, right?
Right. It was our charity benefit for Belmont, and we were playing a team of the faculty. I was on the side of the parents and some of our alumni, and I can tell you they put me down a couple of times.
When you say put, they brushed you back, huh?
They brushed me back, and so just trying to take care of. Banged up leg here, that's all.
Father McCordis, we're talking to you about the Romney campaign, not so much in terms of politics, but the stay-at-home mom aspect, the Ann Romney aspect. You made a statement to me earlier. You said that there hasn't been a Catholic elected president since Kennedy.
That is correct, yes.
But Governor Romney to you is like almost like having or like having a Catholic candidate?
I don't. It's not like having a Catholic candidate per se. I like though the view of family that the Mormon faith has. And we're not talking now about the old ways of the Mormon faith, and some people are going to be confused. You know, they'll think that you somehow are endorsing polygamy. We don't, of course, and neither does the Mormon church.
No, absolutely.
What I find attractive about the Mitt Romney campaign as a Catholic priest and as one who shepherds people spiritually in our parish is that his wife is a woman, Ann Romney, who's been at home with her children and has raised those children. They've had a good family. They've got six children, and it's also something I think that they have in common with the Catholic family. So we encourage children. We encourage large families. And she has been at home with those children. And they've made a point of they've made that a campaign point.
All right, so they've used that as a way of promoting the governor's campaign.
I believe that it's been a positive thing to do because we, as Catholics, believe that the best place for a woman is to be at home with her children.
Now, you're going to get some arguments from some other Catholics about that.
I get some arguments from a lot of people about that, but I'm not saying that that women are not allowed to go and have a job or to support themselves at all. I'm saying that Ann Romney has made a choice, and we should support the choice because there's a lot of children there that need their mother. And it's optimum to have the mother at home, to have mother there. The only thing that you would expect, and as the campaign goes along and as she moves into the White House, if indeed Governor Romney is elected, is the opportunity that a woman has when she's at home and she's not out working and she doesn't have the pressures of these other things to also be a traditional woman. And by that I mean you can to maintain your beauty, to maintain your own you know, the clothing and so on and so forth.
You're talking about like a woman's personal
yeah, her personal style, her personal beauty.
All right, her personal grooming.
Grooming is a good word, but I also mean to the extent that you stay beautiful and presentable for your husband if you're going to be at home. So I think that. That's probably an area that Ann Romney could. I'm not saying she's weak in that area, but I'm saying that's an area that she could work a little bit harder in. But I will tell you this: that to have Mitt Romney running for president of the United States, it's not like having a Catholic running, but there are similar values in terms of the home.
We're talking with Father James McQuarters. You're not saying that Mormons have similar. Are you saying that Mormons have similar values to Catholics when it comes to family? And what I should say.
I think any good person would have quality values when it comes to family.
No, but I think what I'm saying is, are you saying that the Mormon Church and the Catholic Church believe the same thing?
Well, it seems that from the not so much from the liturgical standpoint, but from the standpoint of the establishment of the church, that both churches encourage large families, and the Catholic Church has never shied away from encouraging Catholics to have large families, which also goes hand in hand with what we're speaking about. When you are a stay-at-home mom, as Ann Romney is, and we support that, you should make every effort to appear in terms of that grooming that you're talking about.
And are you finding fault with Ann Romney's grooming? Or,
No, I'm not finding fault. I'm saying that she's a very lovely young lady. I think that for the time that she has to be a stay-at-home mom, as we've often heard her described, that every bit of commitment she can put into that.
And when you say that a stay-at-home mom should put a lot of commitment into her grooming and into remaining beautiful, to what end?
Well, to the end of a happy marriage, of course, to the end of a happy husband, to the end of a loving home and a home where there is a great humor and there's great love and obviously there's affection. This all leads to affection and leads to what we call in Catholicism, it leads to the sanctity of the marriage, and that is the marriage vow, and that is the marriage bed, and that is the size of family and so forth. So
in other words, if I can interpret all of that down, it's to say that you remain attractive for your husband so that you're attractive for your husband for sexual reasons.
Well, I think that you need to be if you are encountering that part of your faith which band-aids a large family, as the Mormons do, as Catholics do, and as other religions do. But Anne Romney, I think for a lovely woman, and she's a lovely woman, she does not have to work, I don't think, all that hard to be beautiful. And so she could put some more effort into it. And that's what I spoke with William Guthrie, a very prominent friend of mine. He's a businessman. He's also a Mormon. And I spoke with him. And
who is this gentleman?
Mr. Bill Guthrie, who's in the banking business.
And okay, he's a friend of yours.
Oh, yes, very good friend. And he agreed with me. He said that he was a Mormon. You know, he doesn't want to criticize, but she looks like she could probably put a little more effort into Hector Ilman, you know, to that extent.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number. Let's put you on hold here, Father. I can hear you've got a sore leg there.
Well, you know, and the thing that has been the most troublesome, I think, for the longest time is the fact that it was a torn muscle, you know, and I should not have been playing baseball.
Well, you got out there with the kids, and it was for charity, huh?
It was for charity, and it was to benefit also the parish and lots of charities, yeah.
All right, Father James McQuarters on the line. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. So the Father McQuarters is not the Pope, but he is endorsing from the standpoint of family and the stay-at-home mom that Ann Romney is. He likes Mitt Romney and the fact that a stay-at-home mom can be spend more time grooming and looking beautiful, which he feels is an area of weakness there for Ann Romney, something that she could work a little bit harder on. 877-876-PHIL. I don't know if you feel the same way about Ann Romney's beauty, or if you feel the same way about just the Romney candidacy. 877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We have on the line with us, we got Father James McQuarters. We talk about the Romney candidacy and Ann Romney, who you feel is a great representation of a woman and a possible first lady, and a woman who, like so many Catholic women, there's not a lot of Catholic stay-at-home moms. I don't know that we're talking about a tradition here.
Well, I think it's an ideal, Phil. It's an ideal. And
okay.
And I think that women like Ann Romney, you know, I think that they show us the ideal. But if the world were a perfect place, I would think that mom would stay at home with the children. You know, if you've got six or seven children, you certainly would want to stay at home with your children. And you would not want to venture into work. And I think that's the ideal. And I know that a great many women are forced into not... they're forced not to be able to do that.
Yeah, a lot of women don't have the choice.
A lot of women don't have the choice. So when you do have the choice, and when you do have the opportunity to be a stay-at-home mom, I would think that you'd make the effort, a little bit more of an effort than Ann Romney has made. That's the only part of the equation that I've got a problem with.
Let's talk about how much of a problem you think that is.
Well, I think it's a big problem. I think, not a big problem, I think it's a significant problem in that when I see her giving a speech, and she goes up today, and she looks, to me, give me the loofah. Today, she looked as if, she could have had her hair brushed, I think, a little bit nicer. And I think she could have perhaps even had her hair done a little bit nicer than she had. Instead, what I saw was a woman who looked a little bit haggard. And I think she looked a little bit like she was run through the mill a bit. You know, there's an old saying about road hard and put up wet. That would not apply to this lady. But
that's a little bit of a rude...
But I'm not applying it to her. But I'm saying if it was someone who I didn't think was of the caliber of a woman of an Anne Romney, I'd say road hard and put up with. So I think you've got a responsibility if you're a stay-at-home mom and to look a little bit better than Anne Romney was able to look today and in the speech that I saw, because I do endorse it. But I would say, and I'm sure that I join Mitt Romney, if you're a stay-at-home mom and you're going to go out and you're going to support a husband in his campaign to be president of the United States, that you make the effort to look a little bit better than she was able to look today. And
is this it's a very interesting point. Is this a chronic problem?
Hold on for a minute. Yeah. Give me the gun. I'm sorry, Philip. Father Staley is here. Yes. I'm trying to get down into the tub, if you can help me.
Are you all right?
Hold on. All right, I'm okay now. My leg is very difficult for me to get into this tub of water. It's warm water. Now, there's a thing here. Do you recall the restaurant that you told me about? I went to that Harold's House of Omelets.
Yeah, in Thousand Oaks.
Yes. I got that little duck, that little rubber duck that they've got there.
Yeah, the Harold's House of Omelets, they have a little duck. It's got a chef hat.
Yes, it has a chef hat on it. And
when were you there?
Well, I think I was there, Father, a couple of months ago when we were going to Thousand Oaks on our way to St. Mary's. Or, excuse me, to St. John's.
Okay.
And so the duck I got, and I'm asking Father Staley to give me the duck. Give me the duck. Give me the duck. Just a moment, Phil. Just one moment.
We're talking here with Father James McQuarters about the Anne Romney stumping for her husband and being a stay-at-home mom. Would give her more time to... Would give her more time to look, to groom perhaps better than she has. Father McQuarters is making the point that Anne Romney looks...
Duck!
What's the problem here?
What don't you understand about duck? Yes, thank you. Father Staley is leading the choir this Sunday for the very first time. I think he's distracted because I kept asking him for the duck, and he didn't want to... But, yes.
So we're talking about what you finding fault with Anne Romney's looks.
No, I don't find fault with her looks. I find fault with what she's done with her looks, which is not a lot. Okay, which is not a lot. That's all I'm saying.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Let's go over here to Janice Grover. Hey, Mrs. Grover, how are you doing? It's good to have you on the air with us. We're going to switch over to another line, dear, so I can hear you a little bit better, because I know Father McQuarters is in the tub. Janice, how are you doing?
Oh, Phil, how are you? I wanted to talk to Father McQuarters about Anne Romney.
Yes, ma'am.
I am not a Republican voter.
If the lady could speak up a little bit.
Yeah, Janice, will you speak up a little bit more, hon?
I said I am not a Republican voter.
Yes, dear.
And so I don't think I would vote for a Republican ordinarily.
Yes, ma'am.
But what you said about Anne Romney not looking her best, it rang a bell. Maybe she's going to stay at home.
Well, she's staying at home with the six children, yes.
I agree, but the polygamy. Yes.
Well, there's no polygamy in the Mormon faith.
Well, I know that there is not. But nonetheless, the history of polygamy would give one cause. When I was married to... And Mr. Henry knows Larry. He is my son.
And who's that?
Larry Grover.
Larry Grover is one of my news contributors.
All right, Bob.
My son, Larry. When Larry was born, his father was arrested for bigamy. He had been married to another woman in Hawaii.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I let him back in the house after he had settled with this woman and he'd spent...
He was arrested for bigamy?
Yes, he was. He was married to a woman in Hawaii. Larry's father was.
Oh, my God.
Yes. So when he had gotten out of prison and had paid restitution, I let him back in the house. But I told him that from now on, I was not going to do anything more than what was my wifely duty. And that was to have sex with him once a week. But I was not putting on makeup. I was not getting into any nice dresses. I was not going to do my hair. I was going to be just the most plain Jane woman. And he was going to have to live with that. If I found out that he was having an affair, I would kill him.
Good Lord. I mean, you didn't...
You didn't tell the man that.
Did you tell him that?
I most certainly did. I said, if I find you have cheated on me again... And he said he hadn't cheated. He had been married to this woman.
Well, if he had been married to her, he should have known he was married to her, obviously, when he married you.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. But he claims that he forgot. Oh, my goodness, ridiculous.
He claims he forgot he was married to another woman when he married you.
He claims he forgot. So that's what I said to him. I'll have sex with you once a week, but I'm not brushing my teeth. I'm not going to use any kind of hygiene products, nothing.
What about your personal hygiene?
No, nothing. Nothing. If he wanted to have sex with me, great. But I wasn't going to bathe.
So in other words, you were going to torture him.
What did you say, Phil?
You were going to torture him for having been married to another woman.
I said that.
Well, it sounds like torture to me, yes.
Well, I said I wasn't going to brush my teeth or bathe.
Yes, that would
qualify as torture?
That sounds like it to me. We're going to be right back here. Thank you very much, Janice. We got to take a break, okay?
All right, Phil. And I wanted to hold on and get the phone up.
Hold on. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'll be right back here with Father James McQuarters and Ann Romney and the Romney campaign.
Phil Hendry.
The number for the suicide prevention hotline for Larry. You know, he's at it again.
Phil, the world famous Phil Hendry Show here. On the line with me is Father James McQuarters, who is talking with us really about the Romney campaign and how it coincides, perhaps, if you will, with the Catholicism, the fact that the Romney family is Mormon, the fact that the Ann Romney stay at home, the fact that you have a big family there. A lot of it mirrors the Catholic experience.
And so I apologize to you, Phil, and the reason I apologize, Father Staley, who has the choir that I mentioned this coming weekend, has confused him to the point where every time he walks in here and I ask him for that little Harold's House of Omelets duck, the little rubber one, he doesn't know what I'm talking about.
Well, why is the duck not in the tub?
It was in the tub and it flew out of the tub. It's a game that I've been playing with. It's just a game. Never mind.
877-876-PHIL. So we're talking about that and Ann Romney and her personal grooming.
Yes, the personal grooming of Ann Romney, I think, which is, it really, she's got to step it up. If you're going to be a stay-at-home mom, and that means that you are at home with the children, you've got to step it up. You've got to take it up a notch. And I believe if you have all of that time to take care of your grooming, to take care of yourself, to look your best and to feel your best, and I think you've got time to do all of that, then I think you should get your hair done, get your face fixed, something, because she has, she really disappointed today that she came up onto that podium today, and I looked on the TV news, and I remember remarking to one of the other, I think we had some of our novitiates are here today, and I said, my God, look at that. I said, what is it? You know, and they laughed. And the point I was trying to make...
Well, isn't that a little cruel for a Catholic priest to be judging a woman's looks that way?
No, I'm not judging a woman. I'm judging a mother. I'm judging the wife of a candidate. It's much, much different. Much, much different.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Warren here. Warren, how you doing? How you doing, sir? Where are you?
I'm having a good time. I wanted to talk to this gentleman about the Romney campaign. Gonna do it.
What is this, Mr. Benman?
I beg pardon, sir.
Is this Mr. Benman?
Yes, sir.
Well, now where are you, man? Are you in Vegas?
No. This is a charity casino we're having tonight. We're in a studio.
You're at a charity casino. Okay. What was your? All right. And for one of the studios that you work for?
I do a lot of cable pulling over here, CBS Laurel.
You do cable pulling at CBS Laurel?
I didn't understand it. But I'm going to talk to the priest if you can do that. Yes, this is Father McCordis. If you could speak up, sir, I'd appreciate it. I said I wanted to talk to you, sir. I'm going, what you talk about? Could I ask a question to Mr. Henry? I think I'll direct myself to Mr. Henry. You have to answer my question. I'm going to answer your question.
Warren, he'll answer your question. What do you want, Father?
I suppose I should ask you if this man, you know this gentleman. It's not funny because I fell out of the stadium. You fell out of a stadium?
Yeah, he fell as a construction worker off of a very high rafter of some kind. Was it a girder?
What did he say? It was a go? No, it's a second tier girder. Okay.
He fell and it caused a great deal of, obviously, nerve damage.
It makes me nervous.
Do you have actual damage to your physiology, Warren?
No. It's just the fact that my mind is a wreck. Why is your mind a wreck? When you tried falling, if you fall that far, you can't fall. I fell 50 stories. You fell 50 stories and you lived? Yeah, and you know something, Father? How did you live to say what you say? How did I live to say what I say? What did I do? Just sitting in a bathtub. You talk about Romney. He doesn't look good. I didn't understand that.
You said you're sitting in a bathtub.
No, I want to say it. You're in a bathtub. You can't Romney. Warren, I want to hear what you're saying, son. I'm trying to belittle you, and I'm not trying to condescend to you. But what happened to you? What happened? And I told you I fell out of a tree. You fell out of a tree. I fell off the tier.
He fell off.
No, let the young man say it himself. I want him to get used to speaking. I've had therapy, Father. I don't need a tank. You've had therapy, Father. You don't need a tank. I don't need you to keep staying. All right, well, what happened? I was working in a baseball stadium and fell. All right, you were working on a baseball stadium and you fell. Yeah, and you fell a long way. Yeah, I'm going like five stories. You fell five stories. And that was the first time, and then another time I fell off a broadcast tower trying to change the bulb. Is this guy kidding, Phil?
No, he's not. He's not.
I'm not trying to kid about nothing here. I think the things you're saying right now on the radio show, you're being mean. It's like I'm bad if you come kick your ass.
Hold on, Warren. There's no need to threaten people with kicking their ass.
Warren, let me tell you something. This is Father McWhorter's now. You don't come in the way you do. Hold on for a minute. You don't want to open the McWhorter's door. You don't want to do that, okay? What do you mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means you don't want to open that door that you're trying to open. You say you want to come kick my ass? Do you really? Well, friend, if you want to walk down that blind alley, if you want to go down Ass-Kick Street, understand something, that it's a dead end. And at the very end of it is a cul-de-sac called Bad Man McWhorter's. Yeah, sure.
Hold on, Warren. Now, come on.
This guy's getting me pissed off. Go down Ass-Kick Street, and you're going to hit the cul-de-sac called Bad Man McWhorter's Lane. And the things you said. What did I say? I said Ann Romney looked like a drowned rat. Yeah, don't go camping. Oh, man, I can't deal with this guy.
Warren, you're very difficult to understand. Okay?
No, but that's the fact that you're there. you're rolling dice, you're playing blackjack, you're doing all of the things that God himself would consider sinful. He tried to talk to a Catholic priest. Is that what you're trying to do? Eight skate and donate? Daddy needs a new pair of shoes. Shut up. You don't know. You don't know. I know more than you do. When it comes to craps?
Forget about the dice and get away from the table. Have you said all you want to say, Warren?
Be dead. You don't want to go down to... You want to take a walk down Ashbeat Street with me? Do you want to take a walk down Ashbeat Street with me?
Yeah, if I go down Ashbeat Street, probably come out the other side of Ashfondle Street.
Oh, so it's like that, huh? That's what it is. Ashfondle Street. You see what I mean, Phil, when I come on these programs... And these people...
Well, you know what? You're asking for it when you are saying, you know, you're challenging the guy.
Oh, he said he was going to beat my ass.
I could have come down and kicked your ass the way you talk to me, Rodney.
And listen, I'm trying to understand what the guy's saying, and he just goes, Danny, I don't know what that means.
Well, I said when you talk about her.
The way I talk about who?
Ann Romney. He has a problem with it, and that's why he... And I will tell you, Warren, coming on any radio show and threatening somebody with physical violence, that's the end of the conversation. Okay? When Father McQuarters baited you with come down Ass Kick Street to Bad Man McQuarters cul-de-sac, whatever that's supposed to mean, and...
Oh, Phil, I was trying to... showing the boy that you can't make statements. You can't... Don't write a check with your mouth that your ass can't back up.
Well, you said you shouldn't talk dirty.
That's not dirty. And
but all I'm saying is you baited him with your comments. Warren, thank you very much. Good luck. And next time you call a show, do it from somewhere other than a charity casino or whatever that charity auction night that he was at there. Father James McQuarters.
I've got a bad leg.
What's that?
I've got a bad leg. You got some guy coming on the program. The man's missing half of his mind. He's missing half of his mind.
Well, Father, I had no...
Oh, you had every idea. The man comes on missing half... He's half out of his mind. Threatened to beat my ass. You open that door. That's a door you don't want to open. And when you do open that door, you better make sure there's a kickstop for it. So it stays open. Because you're going to want to turn around...
Yeah. Father James McQuarters is with us. Better make sure there's a kickstop. What is that? Anyway, Father James McQuarters is with us as we talk about Ann Romney and the Mitt Romney campaign in general. Ann Romney is a stay-at-home mom. She is a mother of some six kids, I think, and she's doing a great job, but she is, according to Father McQuarters, she's dropping the ball in the personal grooming department because any woman with that much stay-at-home time ought to look better than she does. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445.
You better believe it.
Would you put him on hold, please? Thank you. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
What about that guy?
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I'm on all the other side, too, you know? Never.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Father James McQuarters with us, our final segment of the hour. We're going to be talking with Lloyd Bonafide next hour. It'll be John Edwards, the John Edwards topic on deck. And Father McQuarters right now is trying to fix a leg that got banged up. I just would tell you, Father McQuarters, that the gentleman you spoke to was not some shill. He wasn't somebody that I set, that, you know, I put on the phone.
So that gentleman that I just spoke with, he's a real guy.
Yeah, he's a real guy. And
well, he said to me that he'd bet. I asked him, I said, how many girders did you, and I mean this sincerely, Phil. When I asked the man, how many girders did you hit going down? He said, like 7 or 8 girders.
And apparently he hit a whole bunch of girders on his way to the ground, and it did not do any physical damage.
That's the part that I don't understand.
It didn't do physical, it did psychological damage. He's got a fear of heights, obviously.
Why does he talk like that?
That's part of the whole fear thing. He's just afraid of, he's freaked out, you know.
What do you mean he's freaked out? What does that mean? That doesn't tell me anything.
I don't know. It's something, it's a post-traumatic stress thing.
Oh, give me that post-traumatic stress. You know, that's the excuse they give for everybody. Post-traumatic stress. And I can tell you now, every time I talk about people who have been... Hold on for a minute, because here we go again, Phil. I apologize. Would you give me that duck?
Would you somehow get him under control?
Staley, I'm on the radio with Phil Hendry. I need the duck.
Why is that duck flying out of the tub?
It's a game that I'm playing using the duck, all right? It's nothing that is... The duck squeezes out of my hand and flies up in the air, and sometimes it lands in a place that I can't get to it, all right?
Okay, in any event, he's that damaged. He's a guy that has called our show before. You know, I think he's a nice man, but he's, like I said, he's got a...
Hold on. Can I give me the duck back? I'm sorry, Phil.
Are you listening to me?
I'm listening to you, yes. But I'm also trying to get... Are you giving me the duck back, or aren't you? What? Are you... You know something? If you don't give me that duck back, you're not going to believe what happens next, even while it's happening. You understand me? What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
Give me the duck.
Okay, Father, we got to get going.
Hold on. You're not going to do it? When's your next commercial break, Phil?
In 10 minutes.
It's in one?
10 minutes.
So anyway, Phil, the gentleman there that I was...
If you need to have a rubber duck so bad, then maybe we ought to just finish this conversation.
What is that supposed to mean? I'm trying to...
If you need to be preoccupied by getting your duck back in the bathtub, maybe we ought to end this conversation and do something else.
I was talking to the guy. And
you're talking to this guy, Staley?
Yes, he's a priest.
Okay, and he's got your duck.
Yes, he's got my duck.
Well, it's distracting us from the conversation that we're having.
Are you listening to that, Staley? You're distracting the show.
No, you are too.
I am too. He thinks he's a smartass. All right, Bill. So, as I was saying, I feel bad for your friend there, Benman. But that guy was strictly from hunger because I couldn't understand anything he was saying. And
but to when you said to him, you know, don't go down, you know, I can't hear a thing.
I'm trying to find the soap. And I sure don't want to bend over for it, not with Staley in the room. I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's right.
So in other words, this guy Benman that I was talking about, you baited him, and he finally did throw down a physical challenge, and then you started in there with this whatever that conversation was about. Don't go down ass kick street, or you're going to wind up hitting bad man cul-de-sac or something like that.
And that again? I'm sorry, Phil. Say that again.
I said that you were baiting that man by saying, don't open the door.
Yeah, don't open the McWhorter's door, because at the end of Askick Street is Batman McWhorter's cul-de-sac. That's what I said. And guess what he did? He opened the door. And that's when I said, why don't you have a kickstop for that door, because you're going to need to have it open, you know. And he said,
I can't hear anything now, man, with that water running.
Turn it up, will you? Margarita, turn it off. Okay. Now, he said to me, you know, well, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go down, you know, he said that he wanted to beat my ass or something like that. And
can I ask you a question?
Now you're interrupting me.
No, but did you just say Margarita, turn the...
Yes. Oh, I see. So now we've got another problem. What is that?
Is that a woman in the bathroom with you?
Yes, it is. It's the housekeeper, Margarita. She draws my bath for me. Shut up, Staley. You got a problem with that, too? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to kick you.
What the hell is going on, man?
Hold on.
What is...
Give me the duck! Give me the duck! You guys... Can I ask you who's on the phone?
It's Phil Hendry.
I'm sorry, Mr. Henry. McWhorter's and Father Staley.
had a fight.
They're having a fight?
Yes, they're having. Give me that! They're having a fight.
Who is this?
This is Marguerite. And,
are you a woman?
Yes. I mean, yes. I'm on my way to becoming a... No, I'm a woman. I'm not...
Not pre-surgical?
No.
And who's in the tub?
Well, I am. I figured as long as...
All right.
Morning.
Yeah.
Now it's time for Iron Swine on Phil Henry Show. And this week, Iron Swine, they get a call. Iron Swine get a call from man and a garbage stink. Yeah, there's a piece of meat in his garbage that stinks it up. You're going to go over there now. Iron Swine, right? Yes, sir? Yeah, my house, man, stink. That's on account you got the meat in there. Yeah, I noticed I got flies, too. If I don't get rid of that dead meat, it's going to make more flies. That's a load. What are you talking about? Here, take this meat now. Well, ew. Gotta pull that out, man. That's a diaper. Later on, Iron Swine had to go back to my office, and he had to sanitize his hands and make a man accept and everything because he stuck his hand in the baby's diaper. Damn it, anyway, get the diaper out of there. I'm going to show you something. Give me a piece of meat. How about this? Why, you pervert? Ow! You're under arrest. Iron Swine arrested that one guy for showing him that meat. Now I go to another guy's house. Same problem, huh, Stinks? Yeah. Give me a piece of meat and not like the other guy did. Oh, here. Now watch this. I'll put it under a piece of glass. Or I mean, have you got a tumbler or something? Yeah, here's a tumbler. That's a Flintstone tumbler. I can't see through it to see the meat. What's this? A condom? You're under arrest. So that's two guys he put in jail.
Yeah.
Is this going to be done anytime soon?
Yeah, hold on.
Hold on.
Put this meat under the glass, and in 2 weeks, call me back. The 2 weeks went by, and I called up Iron Swine. Hey, look at this, man. There ain't no fly or anything. And you're not under arrest. There's been Iron Swine.
You guys are full of crap.
What?
That's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. Iron Swine. Give me a piece of meat. You're under arrest.
Yeah, the guy put out...
I know what he did. All right, well, okay, so Iron Swine... You know, I didn't know that about Iron Swine. Not only does he... Not only does he fight crime, but he also, you know...
Yeah, you help people out with science projects.
Exactly. That's outstanding. Thank you very much, Iron Swine, for clearing that up for us. Here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Live every night here from the El Pacifico. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they ain't got the guts. Now we have...
What are you doing? You gotta explain that.
I ain't gonna explain nothing. The audience understands, and the guys that I'm talking about, they know what I'm saying is true. But it's all love. It's all good. Anyway, welcome to the program. Our number is... 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. I'm getting better with the national number. We did our local show on Saturday night, and I only busted out the national number one time, bud.
Getting better.
I am getting better. And by the way, on our website, philhenryshow.com, if you were to scroll over there tonight, you would see, actually you wouldn't see it right now because we have some, we have the wrong graphic up, but just underneath the graphic that we have up is a pitch to visit our website. And in so doing, you will actually pitch our shop, our souvenir shop. And in so doing, you will have an opportunity to buy for the Phil Henry fan in your family. So just head over to the Phil Henry Show shop. We have a selection of hats and shirts and coffee mugs and shot glasses and our legacy CDs, which are a limited edition. So by all means, head over there and pick up a gift for the Phil Henry fan in your life. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And we're going to be bringing on the line here in a moment Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, who was, I believe, attending a father-daughter function at his daughter's school. It wasn't a father-daughter function, right?
No, it was a men's club. It was like a family night for the school.
Family night for the school. He was doing some comedy?
Yeah, doing a stand-up comedy.
And we're going to find out what happened there, because I understand there was a question of taste as to one of the jokes that he told. Now, leading into this entire folderol is the story at Penn State, which is as bizarre. And, of course, these stories, they sort of top each other for their just for the difficulty we have to comprehend them. But this story out of Penn State, where one of the football staff, a defensive coordinator for the football team, has been charged with the sexual molestation of children. In one incident, this is an allegation, this man, Mr. Sandusky is his name, Coach Sandusky, what's this guy's first name? In any event, this guy is alleged to have forced a boy as young as 10 to have sex with him in the shower at the football complex on campus in 2002. Now, two top Penn State officials have quit their jobs. They were charged on Monday with covering up the sexual abuse scandal that has tarnished the reputation of Joe Paterno.
Why is that going to do anything to Paterno?
Because Joe Paterno's at the top. He's the coach. And when you're the coach, you're the guy that runs the show. You're supposed to know, man. Athletic director Tim Curley and top finance official Gary Schultz appeared in court charged with failing to tell police about the alleged sexual abuse of young boys by an assistant football coach, even though they knew about it for years. They also were accused of perjury before a grand jury probing the scandal. The charges at face value are disturbing, to say the least, District Judge William Wenner said. All right, and now I don't even know if Joe Paterno has weighed in on this, but I can tell you something. It is a very, very serious, serious set of circumstances. And, of course, what we're talking about here, folks, is a serious set of circumstances having to do with, in the case of Joe Paterno, a revered, longtime football coach, as well as a very revered, longtime, respected football program and a school, one of the top universities in the country, Penn State University. Stephen Bozell, sir, how are you?
Yes, Mr. Henry, I'm doing very fine. Thank you for having us on.
And I understand you're in transit back home tonight, huh?
Yes, sir, we are. I'm with my son, Stephen Jr. We're coming back from San Diego, where he's been helping me do a job. I'm a construction contractor. I got my son right along with me.
And are you good ways from home? Are you okay to be talking?
I'm ham-free, and please don't. My son is... This is very sensitive. Yeah, it's a very sensitive topic, but I wanted my son to hear it because I feel it. It's important for young people to know that there are people in the world, you know.
Well, now, see, I might have a problem. Do you have your sons listening to the radio right now?
Yes, sir.
We're going to be getting into some things I don't know whether a child should hear.
Well, I mean, if it does that, I'll have him turn the radio off. We can do that. I'm hands-free on the headset here, and I can certainly do that, or have him, turn it down, or however you want to do that.
Okay, sir. I think that would be a good idea, and I'll leave that to your good judgment as a father, but I don't know that this is a topic you're going to want him to hear a lot of, because there are some very specific things here.
Yes, sir, but the reason why I'm on your program is my understanding that I did talk to this gentleman, Mr. Dickman, say... He won't say to me, "Act tough, be good."
I didn't hear that. Say that again.
I'm sorry. I said that Ms. Dickman told me that it would be good if I talked about what happened to me with Eric Dorton and the parents' day that we had over at my daughter's school at CK Corona.
Yeah, well, my understanding is, sir, it was a parents' night and there was a parent talent show.
Yes, sir.
And you did a stand-up comedy act?
Well, that's what I do with some of the different... parent functions we do. I do, a lot of parents like to sing, and some of them will tell stories or anything. I do comedy, and I told when I say comedy, I do just jokes,
and I told a joke on this Penn State. And at no time did I mention anything having to do with sex. At no time did I mention anything having to do with anything very specific. At no time did I endorse or condone this terrible activity. Quite the contrary, I'm a father of a boy and of a young daughter, and as well as a husband. At no time did I say, well, I think the Penn State sex abuse scandal.
By the way, I hate to call these things sex abuse, you know?
Yes, sir.
Because this is the assault of a child. And when we drop the word sex into it, I suppose what we're saying is the assault sexually of a child, the same way that we see this when a woman is sexually assaulted or anybody. But it gives, when we say it's a sex abuse, it's just the vicious assault of a kid using sex. So for the purposes of what we're talking about on the program, let's just talk about child abuse.
I'm with that, Mr. Henry.
Let's just talk about the violent abuse, the violent assault on a child, because that's exactly what this was.
I don't disagree with you at all, sir.
All right, sir.
We had been on, probably on stage. I was backstage for this talent night when I was called out on stage to do this, my portion of the performance. And as the night goes, then we stop the performance and the parents get together and we have dinner and we share our thoughts and feelings on the school's future. I came out, they announced me and so forth, sat down with Mr. Steve Bozell, who is the father of our daughter, my daughter's April.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the father of April Bozell. I then came onto the stage and I told a joke and I said, and again, I want you to know that I don't endorse what's happening. I don't think any of it's funny. I've said one little thing that has nothing to do with being funny. When I said, you know why I'm not going to send my son to Penn State now? And, you know, and I coaxed the audience, do you know? And no, they don't. Because he's a pitcher, not a catcher. He plays baseball. Ha, ha, ha. Now
That was the joke?
Yes, sir. And believe me, it got, when I had rehearsed it to a couple of members of my crew, I'd told it to members of my staff my company, and they found it to be very funny. So I can tell you now, I can tell you for sure it's funny, sir.
I mean, I didn't find it funny.
Well, are you sure that you don't find it funny, or are you doing what a lot of these talk show hosts do, which I've encountered? Because I've done a lot of talk shows. I've done more talk shows probably than any people, you know, in terms of being a guest, probably than anybody, any people that are listening right now. And I know that there's some talk show hosts who want to make it sound like they've got more.
Okay, let me just explain to you. I didn't find it funny. I'm not pretending like I didn't find it funny. I'm not saying that I didn't find it funny because I want people to think that I'm a, you know, an upstanding guy. I didn't find it funny.
All right, well, that's fair enough, but, I mean, I have to tell you, it's only fair for me to tell you, a lot of people I know thought it was funny.
Okay, well, to me it was awkward, and why you would tell a joke like that in front of parents and kids, you know?
Because, again, I'm not talking about the specifics of the sex act. I simply said, well, I'm not sending my kid to Penn State because my son's a pitcher, not a catcher. He plays baseball, and then...
And then the laughter is supposed to hit there.
Yes, sir. The way you write jokes, and I don't know if you're familiar with how jokes get wrote down, but you're supposed to, you have a joke, you do a punchline, you have to know exactly where the laughter will come. You give it three beats, one, two, three, so the laughter is going to die down. Then you go to another joke. That's how it does. That's how they do it. And
tell me the joke again, because what happened? They reacted badly, didn't they?
Well, I was told that I was asked to stop my performance in the middle, which was an embarrassment to me, an embarrassment to my wife, an embarrassment to my son, an embarrassment to my daughter. It was a humiliation visited upon me by a school that I support. And all I had said and all I did was I was being topical about what's in the news.
I know, but it's about sex abuse of kids, and you're at a school.
But I didn't mention sex abuse of a kid. All I said was, you want to know why my son's not going to Penn State? Because he's a pitcher, not a catcher. he plays baseball. And that's where the laugh comes. If when you write down your joke, you will have, here's the setup, here's what I told, here's the laugh comes here.
So okay. Our number is 877.
Well, if you don't understand what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying. I still don't find it funny.
Well, I had my performance in front of all these teachers and parents cut short, and I was humiliated. That's why I'm on tonight talking to you. You don't have to find it funny, but you have to understand. You must understand how I could be humiliated.
Let me give the phone number. We can talk it out. I don't see it.
What don't you see, sir?
Well, I don't know that if you were humiliated, it wasn't something you didn't deserve. And I'm sorry. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Talking to Steve Bozell. His son, Stephen Jr., is with him. This man told a joke at a parents' night at their school, CK Corona School, for his daughter, and it did not go over well. My son, here's why I'm not telling my, what is it?
Here's why I'm not taking my kids to...
Yeah, here's why I'm not sending my kids to Penn State. My son's a pitcher, not a catcher. He plays baseball, and then...
Well, I mean, he didn't go, ha-ha. That's what it's supposed to laugh.
No, I know that. All right, 877-876-PHIL. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm telling you, it's a night to remember. I'm only sorry that we weren't on Halloween night. Well, we were on Halloween night, weren't we?
Yeah, we were, but we didn't go outside.
Going outside tonight has been great. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking to Stephen Bozell. Mr. Bozell is in Corona, California, and we're talking about a joke that he told at a parents' night at one of the schools of his children. This is at your daughter's school, sir?
I'm sorry, Bill, did you say that again?
Where was this?
It's at my daughter's at CK Corona.
CK, okay, that's the middle school?
Yes, sir.
Now, who is Erica Dorton? I understand...
she is the principal of the school. Then that was the message was passed to me from her. She wanted me to stop... telling this joke, or not continue on with the jokes I was telling.
In other words, you were up and then off again, huh?
Yes, sir. That was essentially what I found to be so, humiliating about it.
All right, well, we're taking some phone calls from people, okay?
Yes, sir.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I just want to let you know that because I don't want you to feel that some of them may disagree with you and so forth.
I understand that, but if you're saying they're going to disagree with me, I mean, I'm the father of my son. I love my children. I would never do anything that would make sex abusing a child. And I don't think that's funny at all.
No, I absolutely understand that. We're talking right now about the appropriateness of this joke and whether or not you should have been taken off the stage there by Mrs. Dorton or whatever her name is. Let's go to Ed. Hey, Ed, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Stephen Bozell.
Yeah, how you doing, Stephen?
I'm good, sir. Go ahead.
All right. No, what I was saying earlier is I think the joke was hilarious, but as an entertainer, you've got to know the venue you're in and how it can, and you've also got to understand how it can be taken, regardless of what the intent was. I can see where she stopped, not to humiliate you, but just to prevent further potential embarrassment. And as an entertainer, part of the entertainment business, you're going to get the hook every now and then. You just got to be thick-skinned enough to say, you know what, it didn't go. Go on to the next one. Don't take it personal. Don't look at the
humiliation. That was it. When I was on stage, right, are you an entertainer, sir?
I am. I've been a professional musician for 20 years. Put myself
yes, sir.
That way. I've gotten yay,
yes, sir.
And I've gotten booed, and you just keep on going, and don't worry about it.
Well, here's the thing that made me very confused about it. I've said to some friends of mine at work, and I told you, you thought it was good. And I told another joke that I said, I'm not going to use this one, but this joke was, I forget which one it was. It was, Penn State. What's the difference between Penn State and State Penn? Nothing. It's all the same in the shower, you know?
And again, funny
okay,
joke.
Okay, see, he's not laughing at it.
That's a funnier joke than the other joke.
What venue?
Yes, sir.
If you're talking to strictly adults and you're not in a school environment, that'd be hilarious. But, you know, if I got up...
I was talking to...
If I got...
Yes, sir.
If I got... I've heard you on the radio a couple of times explaining your point of view. I want you to take a counterpoint. If you are in a adult-only entertainment bar scene, that'd be hilarious. If you're in an area where you've got sensitivities, you've got kids potentially involved, and parents who are sensitive about something, you know, I'm not going to sing rugby scenes and body bar songs in a church choir. You just got to know where you are, regardless of how...
Well, I was telling that... I didn't do that joke. Yes, sir, I didn't do that joke. I told that joke. There was a group of women who were outside...
You're trying to justify telling your baseball, he doesn't play baseball joke in a school with kids in a sensitive environment. Hilarious joke, wrong venue. That's all
you understand? See, I agree with Ed. Ed's making a very good point. Do you understand what he's saying?
I can't quite figure it out. What are you guys trying to say?
What we're saying is there's kids, there's families, you know, and you're talking about a story where there was sex abuse of children.
But all I said was, what about the other one? The one where I said, what's the difference between Penn State and State Penn? In the shower, it's all the same. What about that one? Where's this positioning? There a guy there? Did you ever have people throwing wine bottles at you through chicken wire, right? Well, it's the same deal.
Not the same deal.
Why don't they
put chicken wire up?
Yeah.
You've got to understand you are. You know?
Exactly.
You're arguing
it's the venue. Show.
We're arguing where you told it and the situation. What, did you mean to send anybody? No, I'm a father and a grandfather. I understand exactly what you're saying.
Why didn't they put chicken wire up? They could have put chicken wire in front of me, as they do in bars. You know,
chicken wire at a school function.
Well, you guys are talking about how, you know, there's going to be people disagreeing.
They're not going to put chicken wire up in a school function, not at a parent teacher night. Thanks very much for your call, Ed. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL.
Well, this gentleman who was he's in a bar, or played in a bar band, right?
Yeah, he says he's been a musician, and yeah, they may have, in some of those roadhouses, they'll put chicken wire, whatever the hell they put up, to keep the people from throwing beer glasses. Do you want them to do that?
You know, I understand what you're saying, sir, and I don't find it all that funny. I don't find it all that funny when I told a perfectly good joke. The second one was perfectly good. And
the second joke might have been perfectly good. The first joke...
That gentleman said it was funny, though.
We're not even talking about whether it's funny or not. The first joke I personally didn't think was funny. The second joke I thought was pretty good, you know?
You did?
Yes, sir, I did. But the first one... But it doesn't make any difference whether I think it's funny or not. You had Erica Dorton call you up...
Hold on.
You had Erica Dorton, the principal of the school, call you up and tell you that it, you know, was not appropriate. What did you want to say, sir?
Woman that I'm talking about, Erica Dorton, everyone at the school knows is a very, there's something wrong with her, and I have recordings of her calling my home, as I've said to you, Mr. Henry, and I think I indicated this to you or to one, a member of your staff. Do you recall?
I recall you said you had recordings, yeah.
Right. If I could just play one, that I've got this on my home machine. Stand by, please.
I heard breathing.
That is the woman that in question. She's called my home on two different occasions. I'll play that one more time for you, just to hear that. You hear that, sir?
Yeah, I heard it. I got to take a break. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Stephen Bozell on the line with us, and we're talking about this terrible, terrible scandal at Penn State and how it, like so many things that we do on our show, how they affect us personally. Mr. Bozell, you are with your son, and I know you love your son and you love your daughter and your family, you've taken the news story, the Penn State news story, and you've put it into a comedy routine that you were doing for your daughter's school. Was it a family night?
You got to say that again, Mr. Henry.
Was that a family night you were at?
Yeah, it was a parents' talent night.
Parents' talent night. And you put into this parents' talent night a joke about Penn State.
No, but I didn't say anything specifically about sex organs. See, this is the thing that I think they're missing, and the thing that I think your listeners are. I didn't talk about touching a kid. I was saying two jokes specifically. But my son's not going to Penn State. He's a pitcher. He's not a catcher. You know, he plays baseball. And then the other one was, what's the difference between Penn State and State Penn? In the shower? Nothing. That one is they say in show business, they'll call them different things. That they call that gold in show business. And
that's gold. Maybe it is gold, but in front of parents? In front of kids?
Erica Dorton, the one that was breathing into my phone, is the only one that found fault with it and embarrassed me in front of my family because she wanted to pull a power play.
The principal, huh?
Yes, sir.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the Phil Hendry Show. We'll go to Austin. Austin, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, thanks, Phil. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Basically, man, when I heard your joke, I literally heard my son's not going to go to Penn State because he doesn't like to get sexually abused in the shower by trusted authority figures. You didn't have to really say anything about the actual sexual nature of what was going on with that, but it was implied in the joke. We all know that pitching and catching is slang terms for gay sex.
Yes, sir, but nobody breaks it down the way you did. No one sits there and goes, oh, let me analyze this joke before I laugh at it. See, that's it.
Yeah, but, I mean, come on. The guy, what the gentleman is saying is there's a certain...
No, sir. Nobody breaks the joke down, Mr. Ernie, goes, oh, well, let me analyze that joke before I think it's good, you know, or whatever you want to say.
You do analyze the joke. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
That's exactly what I heard when I heard the joke, man. It was in poor taste. Maybe I'm smarter than the average comedy listener, but when I heard the joke, I mean, that's exactly what I heard. It was a bad joke in front of the wrong audience. Your second joke was pretty funny, but it wasn't appropriate for the audience. You don't tell a joke like that at a school. I mean, plain and simple.
I understand. The problem is,
I agree with Phil.
Well, you got to understand, though, and I don't think Mr. Henry, you know, I appreciate very much your opinion, but I've got Dale Doninger in the audience. I've got a number of people who work the Ice House in Pasadena. I was hoping that I'd maybe get, you know, a spot at the Ice House. And
So you mean professional scouts?
Well, it's people who work some clubs, yeah.
Well, I don't know that you are going to endear yourself to those people.
Not if I get pulled off the stage like I'm some kind of punk. That's what happened to me. I got treated, you got to understand something, I got treated like a two-bit punk by the headmistress of a middle school.
Yeah, I got to throw something in here real quick, Phil.
Go ahead.
Dude, a part of your job as a comedian, I mean, you have to be able to gauge your audience, right? I mean, you want to be a professional comedian or at least a novice getting paid to do it. You have to be able to read your audience. The fact is you misread your audience. I can't believe that the only person in the audience that was offended by your joke was the principal. I have a feeling that a lot of people were kind of upset about it because it's just not a joke you tell in front of kids and all that when everybody knows the story and it is sexual in nature, that by referencing it, you are therefore putting sex abuse into your joke.
Yeah. I think both you and Mr. Henry, I think you guys need to work on your sense of humor because...
No, we're not talking about our sense of humor. We're talking about knowing what, you know, nothing is funny to me if I realize that I've hurt somebody or I'm talking about hurtful things. I can't, you know...
I didn't hurt anybody other than this Dorton. Do you think it's appropriate that a teacher at a school, sir, calls me up late at night and breathes into my phone?
All right, anyway, thank you very much for your call, sir. I appreciate it.
It was Austin,
thanks so much, sir. You
cut me off. As I was mentioning, that Erica Dorton has, on a number of occasions, called my home and has not said anything into the phone. She's just breathed into the phone. I find that very creepy. And
we can talk about that, and we can discuss that in terms of what effect it has on this topic, because these sound like two different topics, because the woman's breathing into the phone, there may be something wrong with her. There's no question about it, but I don't think she made the wrong decision there. Here is Josh. Josh, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Appreciate the time. First,
sir.
When you look at any professional comedian, a professional comedian sees the demographic that he's in front of and makes his material based upon the demographic that he's in front of. At what point in time did you ever assume that the demographic you were in front of, which I don't know the age group of the children, whether it be teenagers or preteens or whatever the case may be, how could you have any idea that making an underlying tone towards a gay slur would be an appropriate joke?
It's a very good question.
Okay, and it is a good question. Yes, there were preschoolers there, but the joke was intended. There were preschoolers as well as regular elementary school kids. But the joke was intended for people 16 years of age and older. That's what I'm understanding. If you read any of the comedy manuals,
then why would you?
Because there were parents. Because there were people at people were there that age too, and I wanted to kind of let them know that I'm not lame. In other words, what I was trying to say was, I wanted to let them know that I'm not some guy that does kids' birthday parties. That I'm a legitimate comedian. So that was my way.
You're at a school.
What?
So you're at a school. So you're. Material should be based on a preschool level or a middle school level so that you can have an association with your crowd. You don't immediately jump ahead and choose to take an adult topic. It's something taboo that you stay away from. When you see a comedian that say he's African American, he makes black jokes to associate with the crowd and make fun of himself and stuff like that. You don't make underlying tones for gay activities in front of a bunch of preschoolers.
But you see, sir, if a preschooler was on stage telling jokes, what you're saying, it would have been appropriate for a preschooler to talk about being touched by an adult. That doesn't make any sense at all.
No, it doesn't make any sense for an adult to talk to a preschooler about gay activity.
But I wasn't.
What do you mean when you say, Steve, that you were talking to the adults there?
Because I was talking to the adults to let them know that I'm not lame and doing kid parties. I can do real comedy.
So you told that joke as a way of what? Breaking the ice up?
Letting them know that I can do adult humor, yeah.
Well, that's when you do it at the open mic night on Friday. That's when that joke would have been appropriate on open mic night on Friday, because you would have been around a 21 and up crowd that were having drinks and having a good time. It wouldn't be the 4-year-old pigtails in the front counter, in the front row, saying, "What's a pitcher and a catcher?" when they ask mommy and daddy. And they have to
right.
come up with an idea to tell
right.
the child, you know, and I don't
you
know.
Can tell, if you see a preschooler in the front row saying, "What's a pitcher and a catcher?" Well, you know what I did, and I guess you gentlemen will find fault with this, but children do this all the time. I turned around and I pointed to my butt.
Well, how is that appropriate at all?
Kids do that all the time, sir.
They do it all the time. When they're talking about little kids' stuff, they're not talking to...
Well, the gentleman's laughing, see? Are you not laughing, sir?
I'm sorry to say, but a full-grown man talking about a pitcher and a catcher, and when he says catcher, he points to his rear end in front of a bunch of children.
Yeah.
You're trying to say that you are breaking the ice and not making an association, that the caller beforehand was breaking it down in simplest terms, yet you just... used a prop as your body part to talk about a catcher.
Because the little girl would ask, as you said, and...
There's no reason in the world why you should have to explain that to a child ever, because the joke shouldn't have been told in any venue where there is a kid.
Well, you know, again, I'm a professional. And
are you a professional comic, or are you trying to break into it?
I'm trying to... Are you a professional comic? No. Is the gentleman on the phone? No.
And I'm a talk show host.
Okay. I'm doing this to try to break into comedy.
And you're doing it in front of kids. So when the little girl asks, "What's a catcher?" The little girl asks, "What's a catcher?"
You would turn and point to your butt and laugh. That's what you. That's what the manuals, all the comedy manuals, would say.
Yeah, but when does a comedy manual ever strictly point and say that this is going to be your demographic, a bunch of preschoolers yeah. with their parents on, you know, teacher night or whatever.
Well, they talk about making children laugh, and they say that the most reliable joke for a kid, obviously, is a fart joke. Any joke having to do with boogers, all that.
Well, what, well, you know, I don't know how you professionally...
You need professional advice if you're going to do a clown show.
All right, listen, thank you very much for your call, sir. I appreciate it. That is Josh calling. Thanks, Josh. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445.
The thing of it is, Mr. Henry, that I don't think you get is that if you are going to do a clown act...
When you say a clown act, what do you mean?
I mean for children.
A children's birthday party?
Yes. And you take a look at any of the standard comedy manuals that are out there right now, and the Bible of all stand-up comedy joke books is Bergen's. I guess they got a reprint in 1999-2000. Bergen's is a standard manual.
What is this, Bergen's?
Yeah, it tells you about jokes and how to do it, and they tell you if you're going to be in front of kids... If you're going to do a kid birthday party, it's a whole chapter, booger jokes, you know.
Booger jokes.
boy, that hurts.
Is he hung up?
Let me get him back.
I think he did.
Oh, my God. You know, is he kidding? Bergen's is the standard manual. If you're going to work a kid's birthday party, booger jokes and fart jokes. I guess so. Can you imagine a guy having to consult a comedy manual, though, to make kids laugh? I mean, that's probably the easiest thing there is in the world. Make a kid laugh. Stephen Bozell on the line with us. He's talking about his joke that did not go over well. This is not the first time Mr. Bozell has had this problem. He's also got a problem with the schoolmaster there. Her name is Erica Dorton, someone that he says has called his home late at night breathing into the phone. This is a middle school teacher, a middle school principal. The joke was told in front of a bunch of parents at a middle school. My kid's not going to Penn State because he's a pitcher, not a catcher. He plays baseball, ha-ha. And the other joke was, what's the difference between Penn State and the state pen? In the shower, there is no difference. I don't think either joke is all that gut-wrenchingly funny, and I don't see anything funny about the situation. 877-876-PHIL is the number. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to be right back with more from Stephen Bozell. And more coming up tonight on Herman Cain. A possible debate between Ted Bell and, what's his name? Who's the guy?
Jim Sadler.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Jim Sadler. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And on the line with me is Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. Mr. Bozell, it should be noted, has been driving with his son. And I asked you that your son not listen to the broadcast, and he has not been listening, correct?
As far as I know, no, he has not. Stephen, I told him no, that he should not. I know he has his own iPod or whatever you got. But we're traveling through the Anza-Borrega Desert right now, Mr. Henry. It's a very beautiful drive in the daytime. It's very dark here at night.
Will you be very careful, okay? Because I know parts of that highway are two-lane.
Oh, we're doing fine. We should be making, probably make Redlands, or Redlands, I mean Corona. We'll probably make Corona about an hour. So we're good.
All right. All right, number 877-876-PHIL. Mr. Bozell, I know you're a good father. I know you love your kids, but the appropriateness of your joke, and we have a lady on the line now. Is it Robin? Robin, is that your name?
Yes.
Robin took exception to this whole pointing to the butt thing. Go ahead, Robin, and tell us what you think.
Well, me personally, I don't have children, but if I did have a child, even I don't believe it was appropriate about the butt thing being on, you know, pointing to it as being a catcher. I didn't catch the joke at all. I didn't find it funny. But if I did have a child that was either in preschool, middle school, or high school, I don't think that was appropriate. Some people may look at it like that, some people not. I look at it that, you know, me personally, I would take it as being like perversion, like very pervertness of somebody pointing at their, you know, being a catcher. I don't understand that.
Well, ma'am, understand, please. Can I, Mr. Henry?
Go ahead.
I'm not, the pervertness of it is not so much that, you know, I think it would be more pervert if I had stood up there and said, hey, kids, if a man wants to touch your butt, you know, like that kind of thing, I'd never do anything like that. But the little girl looked up at me and she goes, what's a catcher? So I laughed and I pointed to my butt.
Right, but that's letting the little girl too much information.
TMI. Because, I mean, I don't know what's going on with the Penn State ordeal. I haven't heard, but I'm listening to this and I'm catching. I guess it's about, like, gay, being gay or something. But, I mean.
Well, no.
Well, what happened? I'll tell Robin, let me tell you, Robin, let me tell you what happened. There is a Penn State coach that I guess is involved with kids off campus. You know, Penn State's college students, but these are underage kids. This guy's been accused of sexually abusing children. He's a Penn State assistant football coach.
And I think anybody that has followed the Nittany Lions, Joe Paterno, we feel betrayed. And I'm trying to just take a little of the pressure off of the Nittany Lion faithful and just, you know, have a couple of laughs, point to your butt, go, you know, that's what the man did.
Yeah, maybe. Like the other guy said something about, like, at a bar on a Friday night for older crowds. Some people might have found that hilarious in front of children, even at a high school. You know, some people, I mean, if I was a parent, I would have said that very offensive.
Yeah, really.
Can I ask you, like, I have a lady, this lady, ma'am, could I ask you, I have the Erica Dorton tape, if I could play it one more time. This woman called my home, who's the headmistress of the middle school, and play the tape now, and this is what I heard. That's exactly correct. I said, hello, is this you, Erica? And all I heard was just this breathing, and I knew it was her. And now what is she doing? Now she's telling me I can't tell a joke about, you know, pointing at my butt, but she's breathing into my phone.
You know what? I don't know that woman that I want to talk about, I don't know. How do you know that's her?
Oh, I know it is.
The people who are listening to the show or whatever can't say if that's the principal of a school or not. They're just going by what you're saying.
Well, ma'am, I mean, figure it out. She's telling me one day that I can't tell no, you know, butt joke, and the next night I hear, you know, that on my phone. I'm sure it's her trying to intimidate me into not telling no jokes.
Trying to intimidate you into not telling. How is she going to do that? Listen, Robin, thank you very much, Robin, for your call. Appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. How is she going to intimidate you into not telling jokes?
If she calls my home, how can she intimidate me? Did you hear that? She calls my home and told me, no, don't eat those. Don't eat the big hunk until we get home. Hold on, Phil. Don't eat the big hunk until we get home. I'm not doing it. My son, we got two big hunks and we got two big daddies. I want the big daddy. Oh, boy, that's great. You said I could have the big daddy.
Okay, what's going on?
My son ate. We got two big hunks. We got two big daddies. I hate big daddies because they pull my teeth right out of my head. They're made out of caramel. I don't like them, but I do like the big hunks. They're made out of taffy. So my son wants the big daddy and the big hunk. And so I said, let's get the big hunk and the big daddy. And he gave me this really weird look, like, yeah, wouldn't you like that? Something like that. I mean, Steve Jr., why'd you say that? Yeah, he thought me saying, let's go get a big hunk and a big daddy, that I was doing some more Penn State jokes. And I've never slapped my son in my life. In my entire life, Mr. Henry, I've never slapped my son, but I felt so much like I wanted to slap his head, slap and slap, till the head come free.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's a really great instinct, I must say.
I didn't do it, sir.
You have instincts that are really off the charts, man, you know. You have instincts about telling jokes in front of kids. You have an instinct to slap a kid's head off his shoulders. You know, so the kid made a joke. You're talking about pointing at your butt.
Yeah, I didn't say, you want to go get a big hunk and a big daddy? Oh, wow, you got a one-track mind. That's basically what my son said.
Your son said you got a one-track mind.
Well, that's what he was saying, or what he was trying to say. I didn't do that. I didn't do that. Now he's there sucking on a big daddy. You want me to say something about that to him? That people don't want me to make these connections, okay.
You know what? The fact that you make that connection is really sick. I think you need to call that school also and tell Mrs. Dorton that you've been on the air talking about her, mentioning her name, and saying that she breathes into your phone.
Oh, you think she's going to sue me?
Yeah, she could. She could have grounds to sue you for libel.
For what?
Libel.
How do you spell that?
Get out of here. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Ted Bell and Dr. Jim Sadler next hour.
Phil Hendry.